I standing on existing protocol, and I sincerely appreciate every one of us. There's an announcement here. Please, if you have the key to block A, room 3, please kindly come to the protocol stand as a matter of urgency. The key to block A, room 3, kindly come to the protocol stand as a matter of urgency. Our fathers and brethren, it's an honor to be standing before every one of us here. I'm just going to go straight to something, and I'm going to be diverting a bit to I can evangelize. That's what I'll be talking on within the few minutes we have. Can you turn to the person beside you and tell the person, I can evangelize? Turn to the next person and tell the person, I can evangelize. If we can be sincere, especially to those of the fivefold, pastors, teachers, prophets, we fall for this lie that the devil has sold to us. Evangelism is for the evangelist. We are the ones that easily fall for that lie. Especially the moment a pastor has a church, anything evangelism dies, consigning his life. But there's evangelism and there's the office of an evangelist. They are not the same. So even if you are not called, when the Bible says in Matthew 28, go ye into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, it did not say evangelists should go. It didn't specify any particular office. So until we understand this, the end time message will continue to suffer. Because it's surprising that in the end time message, most churches do not evangelize. I speak from experience. The last youth camp program that we had in the church, when we were speaking on evangelism, we noticed most of the youths who came, when we went out for evangelism, we went out on street evangelism, one-on-one evangelism. See the excitement from churches, from youths, from other end time message churches, because it was something strange to them. So we want to use this opportunity that has been given to us to speak to us, because the leaders are the ones seated here. And if we don't come back to this, we'll keep saying that the denominations are doing well, doing great, people are coming. The truth is, what is keeping Briar Assembly is that Briar Assembly spends more in evangelism. You've heard it from the pastor himself. Evangelism, not just on Bright TV. So many of us, if you had the opportunity Pastor Moses have, you say, there's Bright TV, there's no need for street evangelism, let's go and rest. But Bright Assembly still has people who go out on evangelism every Monday. Monday, when you say some people should be, Monday is the day you make money more. That is the same Monday some businessmen sacrifice, and women, and they go out on the street to evangelize. So when I say to your neighbor, I can evangelize, we know what we are saying. Now, all we are going to be saying, or all I'm trying to say within the few minutes we have, is to correct some understanding we have about evangelism. So I'm not going to really be entering so much into what our brother has already said. But within the next few minutes, I trust God that God will, through me right now, speak the words that will prick the hearts of our brethren that are seated here. When you go out for evangelism, what is the purpose? How do you evangelize? The problem of how to evangelize, which is the reason why most of us do not evangelize, is because we don't know who to evangelize. We don't know what the message is. And that's the reason why most of us prefer to just stay in a secured and comfort zone of the altar, where you know you are in control. And one secret we lose, or one power we lose, is this. You will never see that gift of God in you operate in a dimension you have never thought you could operate until you step out. It will shock you that the healing gift you've been praying for in your church has been in you all these years, but you never knew. And I speak from experience. So let's step out from the comfort zone. The question we say, who is the message? Who is the message? 1 Corinthians 2, 22. I hope the IT can quickly help me. Apostle Paul rightly answered us who the message is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 22. Seems I'll have to help myself cough for time. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 22. Oh, sorry, verse 2 rather. Verse 2. It says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. "I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Brethren, the message is not to go out there and tell people about their earrings, their hairdo, the skirt the person is wearing. Listen to me. The person who is sick already knows he's sick. The person does not come to the doctor for the doctor to start repeating the symptoms he or she has. The person is coming to the doctor, or the doctor meets the person. What the person is expecting is a solution. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. The solution is not your church. The solution is not William Branham. And there's no place it is written in the Bible that until they come to your church before they can be saved. Until we understand this thing, the end time message believing circle will keep the message closed continually. And our face will go if Christ tarries. Another generation will come and we will still continue with many people saying that the message has been in Nigeria. And they don't even know that the message is in Nigeria. They don't even know the message is within their vicinity. Another thing I want to bust. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 6 to 9. I'm trying to knock off some meat that we have been holding on to, hoping that God, through this thing, will work on each and every one of us. Because the moment we see this, I'm telling you, what God is said to do, as our pastor, Pastor Mbulu, will say, what God is said to do through Africa, the world is yet to see it. What God is said to do through each and every one of us seated here, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even come to the thought of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase." Verse 8. "Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Now let's knock off this. Brethren, understand this. There's the role of the person who plants. There's the role of the person who waters. And it is only God that gives the increase. The problem why end time message churches do not evangelize is because we want to give. We want the increase. We don't want to plant. We don't want to wait. We just want it to be that we have crowd. And we want it to be that any ministration we do, we should be able to record 100 people came to the altar and gave their life to Christ. Brethren, it is God that chooses when a person will give his or her life to Christ, not you. Our job is to talk and preach the word. It is God's word to convict the heart. And it is God's word to do the conversion, not us. The moment we allow this thing sink in us, it makes the job easier for us. I understood this thing in my final year in the university. A young girl that I had known from year one had been following up. I planted the seed. I preached the word. I spoke, because when she came in, she was all dressed like the end time message sisters and things like that. And I just saw this. I said, "Oh, see somebody that kind of behave or believe what I believe." Within 4 months, not even up to 6 months, the girl had changed from head to toe. She was now the latest queen in the university. I had to call her one time. I was like, what is going on? She said, God, you will not understand. I said, no, explain. He said, you are not a female. You will not understand. I looked at her from afar. I knew, oh, pressure has gotten to this one. We kept talking, year one, year two, year three, final year. Everything about God never made meaning to her. We all finished school. We had strike. Everybody went back. Then a friend of ours had a wedding that brought everybody back to base. We came to the wedding. And it was in that meeting, she told me, said, Godson, I would like to tell you something. I said, now? She said, no, later on. When we are all done with all activities and everybody left, and everybody was attending to one another, she came to me and said, Godson, I've given my life to Christ. I shouted. Somebody had been following for 4 years. Interestingly, it was not even through me she gave her life to Christ. She was invited to a program at Abuja. She went during the holidays to a program to visit someone at Abuja. And then they invited her. And then she got there. She said it was a women's program. And while the woman at the altar was speaking and preaching and talking, said she doesn't know what took her from her seat. She was crying from her seat till she got to the altar. Knelt down at the altar crying and gave her life to Christ. And stood up and told God she's no longer going back. Now, to that minister who is standing there, the minister is jumping and saying, do you know how many souls I have won today? Somebody sowed the seed. And brethren, we must start sowing the seed. If you don't sow the seed now, there's an adage in Africa, I can't remember the locality where it comes from. It's the seed you sow now that will turn to a tree tomorrow. If we are not ready to invest the message in the life of people now, we should not expect miracles to happen tomorrow and start seeing everybody claiming that believing the message. No, it will not happen. It begins with each and every one of us here. So if the message is Jesus Christ, then 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 should apply to us. Apostle Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, if this applies to every one of us, let's now come down to what is the basic thing that troubles everybody. Money. We don't really go for evangelism because of money. Because, you know, the things are very expensive and things like that. Brethren, before social media existed, evangelism was being done. There was no social media when Apostle Paul, or Peter rather, preached, and 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 gave their life to Christ. There was no microphone, neither was there a megaphone. So when somebody stands up and tell you, I cannot go and preach because there's no megaphone, how do I want to stand in the market? Brother, you need to go back to the secret place. Something is wrong. I will keep saying it. Our big problem is we want to stay in our comfort zone. Now, the only thing I'm going to be here or I'm going to try to do now is give you a solution through your comfort zone. Why? Because I have been there. We cannot put away the fact that a lot of us have become busy. And thankfully, most of us here are men. Money matters come from one angle and the other. So you are no longer as free as you used to. Family problem from one angle or the other, so you are no longer as free as you used to. But have you ever sat down and said, yes, I cannot go out on money cry as I used to. I cannot go out to share pamphlet as I used to. So what can I do now? Let me bring us back to some of the traditional approach of evangelism. Because it seems a lot of us have gotten so used to the civilized way, we have forgotten what works. And please also note, somebody in the village trying to apply what works for those in the city. It's far, 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 oh, if you watch football, sorry. Because you cannot tell me you are in the village where you should go on one evangelism. You are going to put yourself on social media. And you are trying to wait until you get a TV station like Bright TV before you do evangelism. Even when you do that, let us be very, very plain to ourselves. Is it the people in the village that will watch, that will know that you are putting something on social media? You will only be surprised that you'll be doing your thing. People will be coming from outside and saying, "Hey, please, I heard of so-so church. Is there a church like End Time Church in this place?" And then the people within your locality will be telling you, "Ah, we don't know any church like that too." Then you understand why Jesus said to the disciples that they are to start from where? From there, then to the uttermost part of the world. Let me point out certain things. Traditionally, one, traditional approach to evangelism. One, I'll be very fast, call of time. One, you can share pamphlets. Make pamphlets, share it. If it works within your vicinity, please do it. It is not outdated. If it worked before, it can still work today. Find it. If it's going to work in your terrain, please don't throw it away because you are waiting for one big money somewhere to start doing evangelism. Two, tele-evangelism. That has lasted, tele-evangelism. For those, you have a TV station. People come on TV. They preach. They listen. You don't wait for a satellite television. Digital evangelism started recently. Tele-evangelism has been there. They say, "Oh, 1 hour, you come on social station." Bright TV did not start with satellite. We started with 1 hour on Hosanna Hour, Hosanna TV. They play Pastor Moses' message, recorded message itself. Message that he has preached, we cut the just as our brother said, we pick the point, cut it, send it to Hosanna Hour. They say, okay, they play it. People listening. That was how it started. You must start from somewhere, brethren. We must start from somewhere. Three, radio sessions. Interestingly, I might not be the one talking so much, but I know at least a large extent what goes on in most of our churches. I'm blessed to be handling the Bride Assembly social media platforms. I'm blessed. It's a privilege. I know of the church in Owerri. Bride Assembly Owerri. What the pastor does, he figured out he can finance radio evangelism. He's not killing himself about TV, this thing. And now, to interest you the most, do you know that when you go into radio evangelism, the radio station themselves, actually now, radio stations, are putting themselves on social media platforms, especially Instagram. So that while they're on air and you're talking, people from other countries are even watching you who is talking. So you are not just ministering to the people within Owerri, as you think. I did listen to one of the records, I'm on their WhatsApp platform, and I did listen, they sent one of the records there. I did listen to it. I found out in the audio, he was in Owerri, on a radio station, not on TV station. And somebody was calling from, I think, London. I'm joining you guys right now from over here, and I'm blessed. Pastor, I can hear what you are saying about the end time message. And I'm really shocked that this is coming from Imo State. Oh, listen, God bless you. Where's your church? And some of us have access to this thing. We are not doing it. We are waiting for Bright TV to come and put us on Bright TV and do adverts. You can do jingle on your radio station. Find out the amount. Another thing, playing audio and videos in public space, but please let it be within your jurisdiction. I know of a brother in Cameroon who does that. All he does is own evangelism. He has picked a day, I can't remember his name now. All he does is this: he plays the recorder on a truck, this four-corner truck, something, and then with two wheels that has handle. Those in Nigeria, in Lagos, they say kole people used to use, that carries iron and dustbin. That is what he uses. He places all the sound system and everything. And when it's that day, he goes around and all he's doing is playing Pastor Moses' message. He will just pick one particular spot and then play it. And then after playing, people, after the message finish, he'll then pick up his mic. As you have listened to the message, if you know you want to give your life to Christ, and this is, can you come forward? People come out. And most of us are still seated in our houses, seated in our church, waiting for people to come when we are not going out. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Please, also organize rallies. But please note something, that rally is not the goal. Rally is a means to the end, to the goal. Because the truth is this, in rally, what most of us eventually do, Brother said me, we do rally, but our rallies are mostly when programs are coming, because we understand this. So when we go out, oh, December camp is coming, we fix mic, this, that. We know we are not really going out for evangelism. The only evangelism we really do is a tract. That's why we carry tracts along. So we drop the tract or the pamphlet with people, and they have time to read it. Because in rally, all you're doing is making noise to let people know that a program is coming. You don't really have the time to stand with them and then talk with them one-on-one. But it's something you can also see, consider. We still do it in Bride Assembly. So why are you not doing it in your own church? And then you say you want to have the effect Bride Assembly has. We are here to share some of the secrets we do. So some people do not think that, yes, there is grace. But that grace has a system. Understand the system. That's why the Bible says that Moses knew the way. All the people saw was the art and the miracles. Until you understand the way that Moses knew, you cannot see the miracles that you are expecting. You can't have the number you are expecting. You can also organize crusades. And please, crusade is not until when the whole village gather. I'm honored to have seen Pastor Chris Umezi. This is what Pastor Chris does. I follow his social, I follow most of us. So, and sometimes I send advice to your social media units. They don't even know I'm the one that send it. I'll just, why not do it like this? It's just a suggestion. And I disappear. Now, this is what he does. He has units set up. Now, what he does is this. Occasionally, brethren is also areas in his church. He will tell them, I'm visiting you people. And they will be the one to gather and invite not just members, but invite even people who are not members. Ah, our overseer is coming. Then they do it as if it's a big party that they are organizing. They want to celebrate their overseer is coming. And people will gather, and Pastor Chris will come and minister to them the word. And then healing, signs, and wonders, and prophetic. And when he is done leaving, you tell me those people, after seeing that kind of thing being done by the pastor of somebody that lives in their location, when the members say, I they go to that church, tell me that person will not follow. These things are workable. We are the ones waiting for millions to do things. And then why that really works effectively is because the people feel belong to that evangelism. They feel they are playing a role. So the resources most of the times comes from even the people. I don't really have time. God will help us. Organize outreaches. This was one of the things the missionaries used to gain ground in Nigeria and most of the countries they went to. But the church of the 21st century has killed it. We killed it, and we are not even planning to resurrect it again. What happened to outreaches to the hospital? How many of us here can sincerely say our churches has visited even to the hospital closest to your place? What happened to outreaches to those who are deaf and blind? Or did they tell you that evangelism is only to those who can stand on their two legs and preach? Because that is the thing I see in the entire message circle. We only preach to people who we feel are complete. And funny enough, that is why we do not see the work of miracles in our churches. Because what you do not have a passion for, God cannot give you the grace for it. You don't have a passion for it. So how do you expect God to give you the grace for it? Go and check most of these people you see miracle signs and wonders happening. They have sections for those who are disabled, permit me to use that word, or one way or the other, not this. They have sections for them. Now, the fact that they make sections for them only makes it possible that at some point, that man of God is preaching. There will be this longing in his heart that says, God, if only you can make even one person walk, and the grace will come, and the person will walk. But we want to wait, and that's not how it works. The Lord help us in Jesus' name, we pray. The Lord help us in Jesus' name, we pray. How many of us go to the prisons? We have had testimonies from people who Bride Assembly ministered to in the prisons. And then when their time was up, they were released from the prisons. They came to the church, even gave testimony that, oh, I was in so-so prison, though. People from your church came and they preached. And that's how I gave my life to Christ. So when I came out, I said, I'm going to find that church that came to preach to us in the prison. And then the numbers are increasing, and you're wondering, how is the number increasing in Bride Assembly? This is how it is increasing. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name. For want of time, I'm going to round up with this. Please, one, have two WhatsApp groups for those who are on WhatsApp. We apply that in the church, in Bride Assembly. The evangelical team applies it with the media department. There should be one for those who you recognize as your members. Then there should be another one for those who you have not recognized as your members in your church. That is where, even if the only thing you do is to send them a message and say, God bless you today in Jesus' name, everybody will say amen. At least that is your own way of doing follow-up. Because the truth is, as men of God, we do not have the time we used to have of going to visit people one-on-one. There's a level your church gets to. You cannot visit 100 people. You cannot please everybody. So do the best you can, and God will bless us in Jesus' name, we pray. Please, do not forget one-on-one evangelism. I pray God help us, and the Lord strengthen us, and the Lord revive us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. God bless you.